Old Toobledum chuckled.
I knowed you've found something. You're both sitting there looking like a pair of toads eating trifle. Put the young uns out of their misery and tell them, mates.
The otter produced a small cylinder of parchment. He tossed it from paw to paw.
We found it. This is Sister Ammon's secret.
Springall was about to reach for it when Sorrow caught the cylinder and stowed it in her belt pouch.
No, you don't, Spring. This is for none but Martha to read.
Fenner pouted indignantly.
How do you know that?
Bragoon raised his eyebrows.
Because, Miss Clever Clogs, it says so on the parchment. Read it to him, mate.
Sorrow took out the little scroll that had been tied with a few threads to keep it closed. On the outside was some tiny squiggly writing. She peered at it closely, reading slow.
Only the one who needs this shall know my secret.
Bragoon levelled a paw at them.
None of you young ones needs to know, only Martha, because she's the one who needs it. We haven't looked at it ourselves, out of respect to Martha, so no beast is going to find out Sister Amel's secret except that young hare back at the Abbey of Redwall. We're bound back there at tomorrow's dawn, with all haste.
Fenner, however, still had a question that needed answering.
But we saw the place. There was absolutely nothing down there but bones, powdery wood and dust. How did you come to find it?
Bragoon paused briefly before launching into his explanation.
It was at the bottom of that stone thing where Abbess Silvaticus lay.
Springald interrupted.
The plinth, you mean?
Sorrow nodded.
Aye, the plinth, that was it. We was about to leave the place when I took one of those torches off in the wall, because our torch had gone out. Well, I stubbed me footpaw on the bottom of the plinth and one of the stones came loose. Bragg pulled it out and there 'twas, lying as safe and neat as you like, behind a stone all that time.
Fenner pursued her inquiry.
But why hadn't it turned to dust like everything else down there?
Bragoon picked something that resembled a tiny pellet from under his paw nail.
See? Beeswax. It was wrapped tight in dock leaves covered with beeswax. I tell you, it was difficult separating that little roll of paper from the beeswax, but we did it.
Toobledum poured them more drink.
Well done, mates. You found what you was questing for. I'm happy for you, one and all.
Horsey humphed.
Three scones on a wall? Ridiculous, what?
Sorrow pulled Horsey upright.
I've had enough of this nonsense. Toobledum, bring me some hot water, not too hot, mind. Bragg, lay Horty on one side with that muddy ear upwards and sit on him. I couldn't put up with him talking rubbish all the way home.
Horsey guffawed.
Walking cabbage and a bone! Poor old Sarah's finally gone off on rock or what?
Sudden panic struck as Bragoon pushed Horsey down and sat on him.
What the? Get off me, you great plank-tailed bounder! Good grief! What's that natty old squirrel doing with a jug of steaming water? Help! Zombies, help! They're trying to kill me! Murderers! Assassins! Boiling me blinking brain and just because I scoff three flaming bowls of stew! Spring, Fenner! Strike the cats with rocks and clubs! Save me!
But no help was forthcoming. The otter held him tight while Sorrow washed out his ear with warm water. A moment later it was all over. Toobledum gently treated the young hare's cleaned up ear.
There, there, Sir Horty. You'll live to cook again. This is an old dormouse remedy, my special ointment. I mix it with sanicle, fever few, and a few secret herbs. So how does that feel, young master?
Horty relaxed, closing his eyes blissfully.
Blooming marvellous, old top. Me ear is at peace and very comfortable. Amazing thing, too, I can hear again.
Sorrow wiped mud and moss from her paws.
See, we never killed you after all.
Springall muttered under her breath.
Pity.
Bragoon whispered back to her.
Shame we missed our chance.
Fenner's eyes twinkled as she chuckled along with them.
Just think of the food we'd have saved without a hare to feed.
Horty opened one eye and fixed him with a baleful stare.
I heard all that, you rotters.
They burst into laughter. Even little Bubub did a squeaky giggle. Dawn of the following day saw the travellers bidding farewell to the Dormouse and his lizard. Fenner hugged the pair fondly.
Why don't you come with us to Redwall? You'd both be very welcome there.
Toobledum's hat wobbled as he shook his head.
Nay, pretty miss, me and little Bubub wouldn't ever leave Lomage. We ain't got much but his home to us.
Sorrow stroked the little sand lizard one last time. Bragoon clasped the old Dormouse's paw warmly.
As you wish, matey. Take care of each other and live happy. Goodbye and good fortune to you.
Standing on the hilltop above the valley, the five travellers looked back. Bubba was shaking his tail as Tubaldum waved his hat and shouted,
"Fare you well, one and all, and take our good wishes with you."
Fenner wiped her eyes as they marched off into the wastelands.
Those poor creatures, it must be terrible for them, living that lonely life and with so little to eat.
Bragoon ruffled her ears affectionately.
Aye, they're both good beasts, Fen. But don't you go believing all that old Dormouse told you, miss. You're too young and soft-hearted.